I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to talk about this horrific event that's taken place in Las Vegas, the worst mass shooting in U.S. history. The worst mass shooting in U.S. history. A gunman reportedly opened fire on a country music concert outside the Mandalay Bay Casino in Las Vegas. If you've not seen and heard the video footage on this, if you listen to it, it sounds like a battle zone, like some guy is firing off a machine gun and just firing. At first, the people don't realize what's going on, and then they realize that they, in the concert, this outdoor concert, are the ones who are being targeted. Of course, the concert was a country music concert, and the audience was a generally conservative audience. And all of that is beginning to develop into a very disturbing narrative. But the suspect is a 64-year-old man named Stephen Paddock. Stephen Paddock, about whom more and more information is being revealed. Some are reporting that he committed suicide. InfoWars is saying, quote, "The Las Vegas shooter didn't commit suicide, as the mainstream media is reporting, but was killed by a FBI hostage rescue team who also found Antifa literature in his hotel room." Okay, that's being reported on InfoWars. They say a FBI source, "Vegas shooter found with Antifa literature, photos taken in Middle East." It is also being reported, well, ISIS is claiming credit for the shooting. ISIS is now claiming credit for it and claiming that Paddock converted to Islam before this attack. And there, you've got a number of headlines out there on this. Let me see the one that I think is the clearest. The Telegraph. Their headline says, quote, "ISIL claims Las Vegas massacre and says shooter Stephen Paddock converted to Islam." And then they say, "but provides no evidence." So the mainstream media is saying that they are skeptical, if you read their stories right now, that they're skeptical about whether or not ISIS claim is true. Others are saying that the Islamic State doesn't make these claims idly. They don't always claim that someone is a convert to ISIS just because something happens. They've got, quote, "despite popular opinion, they do not claim everything," said Shiraz Mayer, a lecturer in the Department of War Studies at King's College London. "They have not, for example, said anything about the Edmonton attack at this stage. By contrast, Marseille was claimed very quickly. When ISIS does claim something, there's usually some degree of actual connection." Okay, that's what's being reported in the Telegraph, the UK Telegraph. So they're still trying to figure out. A lot of the information is unfolding. Of course, this happened hours earlier, but and this comes on the heels. What's interesting, I was attending a conference for the past few days, many of you know this, up in Saskatchewan, in Saskatoon, in Canada. And as that conference was coming to an end that morning, Sunday morning, we were hearing stories about a truck attack that happened somewhere in Canada. Then I fly back Sunday night, get back to Nashville, wake up Monday morning, and now there's all of these news stories about an attack in Las Vegas here in the United States. So it's been a little bit surreal to see this happening one day after another in the two countries that I've been in here for the last 2 days. But this Las Vegas attack is far worse from everything that's being reported. But what's interesting, the Canadian attacks happened on October 1st. Now, this attack happens on October 2nd. Why is that significant? Well, you've had these stories floating around for the last week about how Antifa is supposedly planning some kind of civil war to overthrow the Trump administration. But the stories that I saw all claimed that this was going to happen in November. Then I saw a video clip where you have Alex Jones talking about this, and he mentioned something about the month of October, and that the month of October, this October right now, the month we're in, represents the 100-year anniversary from the October Revolution in the Soviet Union, when Vladimir Lenin and his revolutionaries on October 25th, now later in the month, October 25th, that is the official date of the October Revolution, sometimes called Red October, because that's when communism took over Russia and established the Soviet Union. You can go read up on this. Just off Wikipedia, it says, quote, the October Revolution, officially known in Soviet literature as the Great October Socialist Revolution, and commonly referred to as Red October, the October Uprising, the Bolshevik Revolution, or Bolshevik Coup, was a revolution in Russia led by the Bolsheviks, led by Vladimir Lenin, kind of an awkward phrase, that was instrumental in the larger Russian Revolution of 1917. It took place with an armed insurrection in Petrograd on 25th of October, 1917. So this is the 100-year anniversary. Now, obviously, this is not October 25th. But nevertheless, the month being called Red October does represent a radical socialist takeover of Russia. And could that somehow or other be symbolic for the Antifa movement? And are they planning a whole series of attacks, uprisings, who knows, through the month of October, because it's very symbolic for them? Could that be the case? Now, even though this guy Paddock, it's reported that he converted to Islam, and ISIS is making that claim. It's also being talked about in other media, although the mainstream is saying they're skeptical about it. Of course, I think they would like this guy to be an NRA member, quite frankly, but it turns out, no, he's not. Even before this alleged conversion to Islam, he has apparently very strong left-wing leanings, very strong leftist sort of background from what we're reading so far, at least with what's currently being reported in the media. But whenever something like this happens, there are always details that are going to emerge later on. I did want to mention on the October Revolution, while the revolution began in 1917, October of 1917, and remember, we should look for the date now that this has been suggested. October 25th should be very interesting to see if anything happens on that day in our country, because there's no question that the radical leftists, the socialists, and the flat-out communists are casting off all cloak of deception and when I say that, I mean they're not hiding anymore the fact that full-blown Marxism is what they're after. Obviously, they're employing a lot of deception to try and get what they want, but now they are revealing themselves to be full-blown socialists, communists, radicals who are decidedly against America. It's very interesting that all of this has happened in the midst of the NFL controversies that have gone on, because these NFL controversies are all pointing in that direction. In fact, Colin Kaepernick, for those of you who haven't done any research on Colin Kaepernick, everybody knows that he's a football player with the 49ers and so on. But when all of this, him protesting the national anthem by refusing to stand for the national anthem and kneeling instead and getting all of this attention and whatnot and all of these, you know, debates back and forth. And then you've got other NFL players doing the same because supposedly he was protesting injustices against the black community, racism, supposedly, and inequality, et cetera, et cetera. And that's been the big debate. Well, the problem is that he shows up at press conferences and he's shown up on occasions wearing one, his Malcolm X hat, and two, a t-shirt with the image of Fidel Castro on it. So here you have this blend that he's promoting. Malcolm X, of course, was a Nation of Islam Muslim. I mean, Nation of Islam with Louis Farrakhan. And that whole movement is itself a blend of Islam and socialism, Marxism. It's Marxism and Mohammedism. That's how I remember it. The two M's. Marxism and Mohammedism. And of course, Nation of Islam is very anti-white. The white man is evil. The white man done this and that and the other and all this other kind of stuff. And the white man is just horrible. And he's the white devil, and on and on and on. Now, the irony in all of that, of course, is that when you study Islamic writings, you find out that the Prophet Muhammad is called that white man in the Hadiths. I've done a show on this in the past, how Muhammad is known in Islamic writings as that white man. And he's repeatedly referred to as a white man. And he openly taught that blacks are racially inferior to whites. That's where this whole thing, I mean, it's just blown open as a complete deception, especially toward the black community, who's given the false impression that Islam is supposedly the black man's religion and that Christianity is the white man's religion. Of course, we know that's complete rubbish, where Africa is concerned. Just a matter of history, brethren. You had from the first century, we read in the book of Acts of the Apostles about the Ethiopian eunuch who was converted to Christianity by Philip the evangelist. An angel goes and sends Philip all the way out into the desert there to witness to this Ethiopian eunuch and to teach him the gospel of Jesus Christ, which he does. And then he believes it and he's baptized and he becomes a Christian. Then he goes back to Ethiopia, presumably, and that is thought to be the beginning of the church in Ethiopia. Ethiopia became a Christian country and was a Christian country for hundreds of years. Egypt was a Christian country for some 600 years. The Sudan, the same thing, 600 years. North Africa, hundreds of years. Many parts of Africa have been Christian for 2,000 years. Now, a lot of that changed after, during and beyond the 7th century because that's when Islam comes along. That's when Muhammad begins his movement and much of it sweeps across Africa. But prior to that, there's no question Christianity was in Africa 600 years before Muhammad. And yet, this is not openly taught. Not only that, but you have historians who tell us, both black and white historians tell us that Islam is responsible for about 90% of the enslavement of all blacks throughout history. In fact, the Muslims still have millions of slaves in Africa even today. That's part of this this grand deception with what's going on. But with Colin Kaepernick, you see this blend of Mohammedism, and then he's got his full-on Fidel Castro t-shirt on. It's Marxism and Mohammedism. That's what it is. All right, let's go to our commercial break. We will talk more when we come back right after this.
Adullam Films presents an exciting new documentary, Bridge to Babylon, part 3 in an award-winning series on the untold history of the Bible. Dr. Jack Moorman calls it a masterful presentation of what is the single most important issue facing Christians today, the defense of the Bible as the Word of God. Why was the Bible changed in 1881? Why have so many churches abandoned biblical inerrancy? And what direction are scholars taking the scriptures today? Learn the truth in Bridge to Babylon, the sequel to A Lamp in the Dark and Tares Among the Wheat. Bridge to Babylon is now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I've been a customer of Mountain House through one of their distributors. But now, Worldview Weekend, as of October 25th, 2016, has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. Now look, the key word here is balance. We don't put our hope in horses and chariots. We don't put our security in food and gold and silver. But it is important to be diversified and to be prepared. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. I think people ought to have a little bit put aside, as I've done since April of 2013, in case of an emergency. You get free shipping and handling, and you're supporting the general operating budget of Worldview Weekend. Just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are talking about the aftermath of this terrible tragedy in Las Vegas, where it is being reported as the worst mass shooting in U.S. history. Before we went to the break, I was going over how all of this was preceded by these NFL protests that were begun by Colin Kaepernick. Now, I made mention of how Kaepernick appears in interviews wearing his Malcolm X cap and a Fidel Castro t-shirt. Actually, it's even a little bit more than I had thought. I'm sitting here looking at the images now. I was reading about it before, but you look at the images, you can see he is wearing a t-shirt that shows when Malcolm X met with Fidel Castro. And there's the words on it, a quote, "like minds think alike." In other words, Malcolm X and Fidel Castro, they thought the same way. And then he's got his Malcolm X ball cap on. So then you can go, and he's got another, in another press conference, he's there wearing a t-shirt that has Malcolm X on the t-shirt itself. So there's no question that he is promoting Marxism, communism, and Nation of Islam type Mohammedism. No question about that, which is radically anti-American on all fronts. In fact, he took it a step further beyond that. He donated, then Colin Kaepernick donated $25,000 to a group named after a convicted cop killer and former Black Liberation Army member, Asada Shakur. So yeah, it says Colin Kaepernick's foundation made the donation to Asada's Daughters, that's the name of the foundation, back in April. And it says the Chicago-based charity is named in honor of cop killer Asada Shakur. Shakur was convicted in the 1973 shooting death of a New Jersey state trooper. The Black Liberation Army member escaped from prison and lives in Cuba. She was godmother to rapper Tupac Shakur, whose stepfather aided the escape. The charity is a collective of radical Black women affiliated with Black Lives Matter. Now, this is all according to the Daily Mail, that he made this $25,000 donation. And they've got an article on this with photographs, etc. For those who may want to do more research, Asada Shakur, the woman, it's a female. Asada Shakur is still wanted by the FBI. It's believed that she is still in hiding in Cuba, but still wanted by the FBI to this day for obviously her crime and then her escape. But she's seen by Colin Kaepernick as a heroic figure. And all of this, I mean, here's the thing, brethren, that we have to remember. When they're talking about and having these protests and they're complaining about racism and inequality, it's important to understand what they are talking about. What they're talking about is that the only solution for the alleged inequality of America, or really any free country, the only solution is communism. That's the only solution. Remember, we had that story we did about the West Point graduate who was showing his support for Colin Kaepernick, and he had the inside of his cap there. He held it up and the words, "Communism will win," on the inside. Because the communists and the socialists, they use racial agitation as a continual source of conflict and division and discord and so on in countries that they're trying to control. And they continually argue that there's inequality, etc. And the only way the inequality is going to be resolved is to change the system. That's the phrase we hear all the time. You have to change the system and change it to what? Socialism and or communism. That's the only way. And this is why it doesn't matter what is given to any minority group in our country. It's why a majority of your NFL players are African American and they're making millions of dollars, but it doesn't matter. Until we become a communist country, God forbid, I hope it never happens here, but until that happens, they will not be satisfied. Very interesting. You know, my flight back from Canada, I at one point sat next to a woman from China, and she and I had an interesting conversation, but she was telling me about life in China and what it's like under a communist regime. And it just sounds like a complete nightmare. For example, one of the most startling things that she told me about, I mean, the cost of living is astronomical for everything. And things that you would not expect. She told me, she said, you know, if you want to drive a car over there, that what you've got to do, not only do you have to get the car, but then you have to buy a license plate for it. And she said that just the license plate for the car, for you to register your car, costs about $20,000. $20,000 for a license. But can you imagine paying that here in the States? Now, this is what she was communicating to me. And when she said $20,000, she said 20,000 Canadian. So it'd be 20,000 Canadian. You'd have to scale that back to US money, but it's still a lot of money. Still a lot of dough for a license plate. And she apparently has moved from China, out of China, and she's now living in Canada. And that's why she was on this Air Canada flight. But anyway, but she was telling me these kind of stories about their economy and how it works. And even at that, even with the astronomical cost, you can't just go get a license plate, even if you can afford it. You have to put your name in some kind of drawing, and then you have to be one of the people who are selected to get a license plate. So you have all kinds of regulations like this, apparently. She says that people who do not live in the cities, who are living in the country and the surrounding area, that they have to, you know, that they're working and they just save up large amounts of money because they have to in case they get sick. Even with a communist system, ultimately, they don't have government health care that's going to take care of people automatically. She said, what she said to me is that in China, if you get sick and you have to go to the doctor and they have to treat you, they will not treat you unless you pay them in advance. You have to pay in advance. You can't pay it off or anything. You got to pay them in advance. Or she says, even if you're in a life-threatening situation, they will not treat you. They simply will not treat you. And she was telling me, she said, you know, in China, unless you're a person of power in the government or you have a lot of money, she said, life there is just terrible. That was the word she used, terrible. And it's unfortunate that so many of the people in our country today who get swept away by ideas of Marxism and anti-Americanism, they refuse to recognize that as a system, it is a system that has failed everywhere upon the earth that it's ever been employed and upheld. And even the best communist countries end up coming to ruin, either that or, you know, the sad thing, probably the saddest thing that I heard from this woman from China was that the people there, they have no joy, they have no happiness, that they don't think about God or anything like that. They just think about making money, because if they can make enough money, then they'll feel safe. And I was able to encourage her to seek out a church now that she's moved to Canada, because I found there were some wonderful, wonderful Christian people there in Canada. I was really, really encouraged by the fellowship there. But I could tell that this lady was not a Christian, obviously. In fact, I asked her if she was, and she said she was not. But I did encourage her to seek out a church somewhere now that she's moved to Canada, and hopefully she will. All right, brethren, that is going to do it for us today. We are out of time. We'll stop it there. But we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.